Nowadays, technology is advancing at a very, very fast pace. And every day, we see new things being invented, and things that we cannot imagine, like 5 years ago, 20 years ago, is happening. One of them is, it's not just an iPhone that I'm talking about. It's talking about things that Google is doing, you know, the self-driving cars, you know. All these things, so amazing. And sometimes we get the feeling that, wow, technology is, you know, so great, you know. And we eventually somehow we idolize technology. And, you know, have you heard of this term transhumanism? Anybody heard of this term? Oh, okay, David and Kevin. Younger people, transhumanism. It's a new movement which has emerged from California Silicon Valley. Okay, you know, Silicon Valley is the foremost, you know. Wow, it's the home of Google, you know, and Apple, you know, all these technology firms. And recently there's this movement, it's called transhumanism. And what it is one definition is it's a radical life extension and life expansion. Transhumanism involves, deals with, you know, changing how life is, extending life, and continuing life. For example, some examples of transhumanism is this movie called Selfless. It's talk about, you see I don't know whether you see the captions of the right-hand side. It says, God created man, and man created immortality. This movie talk about techniques called shedding. You know, there's this rich guy, billionaire, who have a terminal illness, and then he get a scientist to shed his life, his character, onto another person, a younger, more healthier person. So his character, his emotion and everything would shed onto another person. It's one of the examples of transhumanism. Another example would be cryonics. Cryonics are techniques that people exploring is that involves in the deep freezing of human bodies towards their terminal life for preservation and possible revival in the future. For example, now they don't have cure for this brain cancer that many is experiencing. But somehow, they freeze her just before death, and then maybe 50 years later, science may discover a cure for that, and possibly revive her, revive me, you know, if I am, you know. Would you want to do that? You see, it's kind of getting into realms that humans are thinking that technology is providing everything, can solve everything, like cloning. You know, why don't I clone myself, you know, so that I have the next generation me on Earth. You know, in essence, transhumanism viewed body is basically like a machine, and the brain is like a computer. So as far, it doesn't deal with spirit, soul, our relationship to God, but somehow we just treat human as a machine, computer, and as long as we can improve the efficiency of computers, you know, we can, human life will be subjected to upgrades by technology. And it is believed that it is human control our destiny. Today, the scripture that we read is about this. I think it's a very familiar passage for most of you. It's the famous Tower of Babel, or the infamous Tower of Babel. It's the earliest form of humanism. It's basically, it's seeking security and meaning of life without God, apart from God. And it's using, in this passage, we see that human beings start using technology as a means to advance to heaven. You see, God is not anti-technology, but God realized, understand our inherent nature of sin within us. And because our sin, it perverts our use of technology. Just like we have the technology to using splitting atoms to produce a lot of energy, but then it turned out to be also, we use that to make atomic bomb and kill a lot of people. You see, I hope by the end of this patchy, as we appreciate what technology has done in our life, in our culture, in our society these days, we need to understand that technology cannot solve all our human yearnings. Our true hope is in God. So this is the passage. This is the what I hope to bring to you as we face technology advancement with us every day. So let us look at this scripture, Genesis 11, that Johnny just read. Chapter 11 actually is a flashback of the previous chapter, chapter 10. Last week I talked about the Table of Nations. And chapter 10, verse 25, it talked about two sons were born of Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. So here it mentioned about in his Peleg's time, the world was divided. So actually, here in chapter 11 is a flashback, give us the reason why the world was divided. And that's the reason why the world was divided. So it was divided because of the Tower of Babel. Verse 1 and 2 is the initial setting. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As man moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. This is what happened before the Tower of Babel, before the language was divided. And it happened on the plain of Shinar, and it is outside of God's blessings. Why? Because God was commanding Noah and his descendants to go and fill the earth, to go scattered around, to fill the earth. In chapter 9, verse 1, it says, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So go fill the earth. But then people end up chose to stay and settled in one place, Shinar, which is Babylon. Now don't interpret this from your perspective now. You know, my perspective now is it's good to settle in one place, you know. We have been traveling around in the world, you know. But at that time, God's command is, intention is for them to fill the earth. But men decided, why? I don't want to live my life. I want to settle in one place. So this is outside of God's will. And then verse 3 to 4 is some sayings of the humans. It says the humans discuss among themselves that we want to use technology to build a city and a tower so that we can have the security of the city and the tower who give us significance, give us name, give us importance, yet without the counsel of God, without the will of God. So verse 3 to 4 says, they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. See here, let us make brick and bake them thoroughly. This is the first recording of humans using technology. You see, to building material, you know, it's natural to use stone to make building material. But this is the first time is, if you don't have stone, you can just make dirt. All you need to do is to bake them. Put it under heat, and then it dry, and it becomes hard. And it becomes a readily available building material. And all you need is use tar to bond them together. So this is the technology. And with this technology, they use it to build a city. You know, God told them to scatter, to fill the earth. But instead, they want to settle in one place and build a city. What does that mean? The hallmark of a city is in the defense wall. You know, don't think of New York City, but think of the city in Bible time. The most distinct security hallmark of a city is they have a defense wall, so that outsiders cannot breach it. So, city represents security from outsider. And they said, with this city, we want to build a tower that reaches up to the heaven. It's going to transgress to God's boundary. You see, with technology, we can do that. People think that we are going to build this tower that can go to God's territory. Humans want to be the same position as God. Just like Adam's. In the first temptation, first sin, is a temptation to use humans' desire to know good and evil, just like God. Human wants to be like God. Humans in here, the city builder, they wants to build a tower to reach to God's. And so that we make a name for ourselves. Name implies fame and implies progeny, which is offspring. Name represents this, you know. Name is, you know, I build a name, you know, I have a good name. You know, I will make a name of myself. It's pride. And name is for my name to carry to generation to generation. It's like I want to carry on my life to other generations, immortality. So all this is, that's the meaning. You know, we want to build something that we have achievement for ourselves. And they want the city builder attempt to find significance, meanings in life, and immortality in their own achievement. That's what's happening here. Without God, you know, we do it ourselves. With enough technology, we can do it. Just like today, many people don't want to have God in their life, and they think that we can have things to fill my life. The purpose of life is to have the most toys. Whatever we have, enjoy it, and that's it. That's the meaning of life. A lot of people think that. You see, and our God is not against city, but against human pride. You see, the sin of humans basically is pride. You know, we want to have my own destiny. When the Bible talk about something wrong, homosexual activity is wrong, is sin. Humans want to say that, no, I decide what is right and wrong, and I'm going to parade it as pride. So God is not against city, but against human pride, and against the false security attached to city. So humans are proud and wants to be autonomous, not under God's rule. Instead of trusting God, we trust our own wealth. Wealth becomes our city. You see, in the following chapter, chapter 12, right away, because God's saving nations, that God chose one person to do that. His name is Abraham. God chose Abraham and promised him in chapter 12, verse 2 is, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. You see, God can give us name. You don't have to seek it yourself. Humans in this chapter, people want to build a tower to proclaim their name. But you see, they don't want God to get involved. But God actually can give us, bless us with great names. God promised to make Abraham's name great. And eventually he did. And God also, in the New Testament, Hebrew, chapter 11, actually talk about Abraham looking forward to a city with foundation whose architect and builder is God. So you see, God is not against city. God actually, it is a city that is provided by God. So verses 3 to 4 are the human words. And then verses 5 to 8 are the divine word. And God wants to deconstruct, break down their unity and tower by confusing language. In verse 6, the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not be understand each other." So, verse 5, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building." And God was conferring in his heavenly council, and says he will come down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. Historian discovered these relics is called cigarette. Just like, sounds like the smoking cigarette in Babylonian areas. They are a huge tower with you notice all the stairs that go up, you know, go all straight up to the top. It's quite magnificent, right? I've never visited them, but only see them in pictures. It would be majestic, magnificent. But you know what? In God's eyes, God cannot even see it. The Bible describes that God have to come down to see it. You know, human would think that, whoa, what I built, this computer, this iPhone 6 or 7 or whatever, it's so great, it can do so many things. You know, it was so great. Human think that is such magnificent piece of achievement. But the Bible narrator says, but the Lord have to come down. It's so insignificant, so tiny, so pinny, that God have to come down to see it. And God, in his wisdom, counsel, is confused. End up, the judgment is to confuse people's language. You see, there are actually two sides to this judgment. First is to stop them from building this tower, and actually the second part is to preserve human from self-destruction. Because if human, without sorting out their sinful nature, continue to gather together with evil thoughts, is going to magnify, and eventually it will become self-destruct. So unless God intervene and divide them by confounding their speech, nothing can stop human beings in their pride and their desire for autonomy to do things even more destructive. They will drive over boundaries and destroy themselves. So actually confusing the language is God's way in his wisdom to preserve humans. So, and then finally, in the last settings, that the final setting is the people become scattered. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So that's how the people were divided. You know, chapter 11, this 1 to 9, it talk explain that how we get end up getting all these different nations. So and now we have different nations, different languages. So what is the hope of we are divided in this world? So what is our hope? technology? Or maybe is that, I tried to download this United Nations picture, but for some reason I can only get so big. So this is supposed to the conference room of United Nations. Is United Nations our answer? Well, you see, if it is a society without God, it's ultimately not stable. You see, on one hand, we can say we have a collective peace, unity, give us temporary stability, you know. In some conflicts, we look upon United Nations to resolve some conflicts between among nations. It can give us temporary stability, but on the other hand, we have to realize that human sin will give rise to greed and exploitation from one country to another, one nation to another, and these cause strifes. You know, the nations actually, because of self-interest, invade other nations. And so there will be always a conflict of interest, and there would always be cause for conflicts and disagreements. Hence, the only hope we have is the Prince of Peace. That's our only hope. In Acts 2, please turn to your Bible to Acts 2. Actually, it's the reversal of Tower of Babel. Acts 2 actually talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, and if you look at Acts 2, it talk about in Jerusalem, there are Jews, peoples who come from every nation under heavens. Verse 5, it says, there was staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Of course, this is from the perspective of the Bible writer, Luke, who said, you know, it certainly doesn't include Japan or China or whatever, but it is to their world, every nation under heavens. And give us a foretaste of what the ultimate new heaven and earth will be. So here, the damaging confusion and devastating destruction is reversed at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down. It does not remove diverse languages, but allow the people of God to hear and understand one another. You see, that it doesn't eliminate all these different languages that is listed from verse 8 to 9. All these languages still exist, but the Holy Spirit allowed them to understand one another. The apostle was speaking, and they hear it and seem to understand it in their own mother tongue. The Spirit alters the effect of different languages from breaking down the community to building up the new community of the church. You see, it is only through the working of the Holy Spirit that we understand, we hear. Without the Spirit in us, we would often misunderstand one another through fear, through distrust, and through self-ambition. You say something, you propose something, I hear it otherwise. I hear that, you know, it's because of my own sin, my own shortcoming, that I don't understand one another. That's why some issues in our church, sometimes you get 20 emails. No, just one issue, one main issue. What color should this wall be? Whoa, should be white. No, white, then it should be purple. Oh no, it's green. What color is the carpet? We can stick to, because one issue, without the Holy Spirit working, we cannot understand one another. And this is what happened. So, Acts 2 give us a glimpse of hope. You see, folks, we are in a very new age, very different time now. We are in a time of technology happening so fast. But not all of them, we have to realize, that are true blessings. We have video games. We are talking about generic engineering. Does social media help us to communicate with one another? No. How many friends do you have in Facebook? 200 friends? But when you really, really see it, are they truly your friend? You know? So, you can, of course, send out in one click a message to your hundreds of friends. But really, how many are listening? How many are watching? You know, so we have to be very discerning. Technology may not be true blessings. Sometimes it may bring more harms than good. But our hope, let's set our hope on God and follow His will to build true community by hearing, understanding, and sacrificing in love for one another. And that is true community. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as our world around us is changing rapidly,